good to be in the house of the Lord? I mean, really, isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Stuff happens in the house of the Lord. Miracles take place in the house of the Lord. People get saved in the house of the Lord. Lives are changed in the house of the Lord. I don't know no other house I would rather be in on a regular basis. I mean, you can go to a lot of places and not see what you see on a normal basis week after week in a year's time, in 2 years' time. It's a blessing to be part. And I'm always thinking, well, how can we do better at serving and loving and caring for other people? That's my thought all the time. Because if I can just figure out a better way to do it, then God's going to find just that much more to pour out. And so this morning, if you'll turn in your Bibles with me to John, the 13th chapter. I'm going to, for the next several weeks before we start into this next year. We're going to begin next year with a series. It'll be about the first or second week, and we haven't decided exactly as we get the material together and kind of get everything lined out. But I'll give you kind of a synopsis of where we're headed with that. We're going to call it having a total makeover. Would your life need a makeover? And we're going to touch on different areas of your life. Now, one of the parts we're going to do in there is the people who come on the first week of that series, you'll get to sign up and put your name in a box. And the second week, we will draw. You've got to be here for it to count. You're not here, it don't matter if we draw your name. We'll throw it away. But the winner will get a $500 free one-room makeover in your house. We will remake one room in your house. It don't matter if we just buy you a couch and repaint all the walls. It doesn't matter what. But we can take one room. It may be a bathroom, maybe a kitchen, maybe whatever. And we're going to remake one room in your house. Me and the men and others. So we're going to come in there and we're going to totally remodel however you want it. You find the picture and we're going to build it. We're going to make it as long as it ain't no cost over $500. But we can do a lot with $500. Believe me, we can. The carpenters know how to be able to make things work, especially when labor is free. You can go a lot further. And so this is going to be a real exciting series. And then the last week of that, we'll show you the before and after pictures of that room as we deal with this. We're going to have a lot of fun starting off the first of the year, and I'm looking forward to that. But before I want to get into that, I really want to deal with serving and servanthood. Our church is built off of that, and people always talk, well, y'all are happy people. Y'all just like being together. Y'all are friends, and y'all... Well, it goes because of the type church we are. Understand, it's not that we are these type of people, and then we just all ended up in the same church. No, that's the way people would see it. Well, y'all just, you know, you just kind of ended up all together. No. There has to be first a mindset, and when we get that mindset, then we become those type of people. Believe me, it doesn't work the other way. We don't just look out throughout the county, oh, you look like a happy person. You look like a real nice person, a real, you know, energetic person. Won't you come to our church? And then if we see somebody with a frown on their face, no, you won't fit. We don't go there. It's simply based off of, do you have a heart to want to serve? Because if you want a smile on your face, learn to serve. That's all there is to it. If you want to learn to smile and be happy about your life, learn to serve. Now, I want to make one announcement today. And today is December 12th. That's special in a lot of ways to different people. It's getting close to Christmas and all that. But for one couple in here, it's very special. If I can show one of the pictures, 18 years ago, yeah. 18 years ago, there was a couple that had decided that they wanted to get hitched on this day. And so 18 years ago today, they got married. And that's right. Thank you. She deserves that applause a lot more than I do, believe me. We were joking this morning, and I told her, "Do you think we'd be this far in 18 years?" And she was like, "Or do you think I think we'd make it 18 years and be here?" And she was thinking I was meaning it like, "You think we'd stay together 18 years?" But I told her, I said, "No." I said, "Did you ever imagine 18 years we'd be living in a 50-year-old house with a pond half full of water?" I said, "Do you ever think we'd come this far, baby?" She just laughed, and I began to think of all the blessings that God has given us over these years. And you're part of that. My three children are part of that. And it's just amazing what God can do if you just continue in His steps. And but I do love her very much. And I want to request today, if you get with her, if you are part of our close-knit group, and anybody wants to help with some babysitting for the next day or so, we could sure use it. House sitters, anything like that. My brother's fixing to go on a cruise, so he's done caught my mom and them. So I'm kind of short on the babysitter deal, and so I can't hit up my mom. He's done snagged her for the next. Of course, him and his wife, they're celebrating their anniversary, and I think they're headed out of states to Paris or somewhere. I think they've been saving up for years, and I think they're fixing to take. In fact, the other night, I'll just kind of say this and tell on Trent. He didn't want to play basketball with us. He sat on the sideline for like the first game or two and just sat there and watched us. And it was like, "Come on, Trent, you need to play." And his whole fear was, he said, "I could see me breaking my leg right before I get on that plane, or I could do." And I'd spend the next week with my wife hobbling around, not being able to go. And he said, "I can't do it, guys. I can't do it." We finally talked him out there, so it got the better of him. Turn in your Bibles with me this morning. Let's jump into this. Look at the person beside you and tell them, "You were built to be a minister. You were built to be a minister." Not just called to be a minister, not just asked to, or and when we think of minister, we're thinking of a pastor, but every one of us in this room is called, designed, built for ministry. That's what you're built for. And if you don't catch that in your life, then you're going to start wondering why you're not happy at church, or wondering why you're not happy in your Christian walk, or even though you've come to the altar 1,000 times, how come my life doesn't get any better? It's because until we make the next steps, beyond just being saved, or just beyond telling God I'm sorry, or just beyond just saying I'm going to do better, until we get a mindset that I'm built differently than what the world says I am. The world has a mindset that I'm built to get and I'm built to receive. And God says, no, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Well, that doesn't make sense in my world, because in my world, I'm happy when I get something. But it only lasts for a little while, and then you want something else. You're not built to receive and it to remain. It's not designed that way. I love the commercial that just came out, and you know, I'm always amazed. I've never got one of these, but I'm always wondering who lives the lifestyle that somebody just puts a brand new car in your driveway for Christmas. Now, I've got some good Christmas gifts. I mean, but I'd never got somebody just give me a car and set it in my driveway, you know, with a big bow on it and everything. And I love this one new commercial that's out, and there's this guy sitting in the car. His wife just bought it for him for Christmas, and he sits in it. And he's like, "Oh, it's so..." And then about that time, another car drives by, and he's like... And that quickly, he's gone from content to, "I didn't get the right model. Man, I could have got the yellow one, or I could have got the brown one, or I should have got the different. I should have got the one with the fin on the back. I could have got the turbo instead of just getting this one. Could have got a four-wheel drive. I needed the four-wheel drive. I should have got it. I talked myself out of it." And whatever we get in life, it will never be enough. That's something you're going to have to learn about life. If you go at it that route, it will never be enough. John 13, verses 1 through 7. "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things unto his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girdeth himself. After that he poureth water into a vessel, and began to wash the disciples' feet. And he wiped them with a towel therewith, he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter. And Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Are you going to wash my feet? He's not saying that like, are you going to do it? He's doing it in a mindset of, I don't understand this. Why are you washing my feet? This is not the way it's set up. This is not the way it's supposed to be. This is not the way we do business. You know, you've earned a reputation. You've earned a place. And because of that, no, you should be washing nobody's feet. You should have your feet washed. You should, everywhere time you walk into a house, somebody should wash your feet. Every time you walk into a synagogue, somebody should bow down to you. Of all the miracles you've done and all the things that I've seen you walk on water. I've seen you transfigured on the mountain and seen Moses and Elijah standing beside you. I have seen so many things that there's no way that you should be washing my feet. And Jesus, knowing even more than this, understands that tonight I'm fixing to be betrayed. I'm fixing to die. Within 24 hours, I will be dead. And if you had 24 hours left in your life, what would you spend them doing? I doubt you would go get a pan and start washing people's feet. If you had 24 hours, you would want to go see whatever friends you had left. You would try to make all the phone calls you could. You would try. But Jesus saying, I've got my friends right here, and what could I say to you? What could I do? And he takes a pan, and he takes some water, and he says, I want to show you. I can't say this, but I want to show you to the deepest part of me how much I love you and how much I care about you and what you mean to me. And I want to set an example of how your life is to be. Go with me in your Bible to Ephesians, the second chapter. I'll show you what I'm talking about. Ephesians 2 and verse 20. Ephesians 2, verse 20. And we are built upon the foundation of the apostles, Jesus Christ Himself, being the chief what? So the context is that we are built. We are built upon. We are designed. We are put together. We are shaped. We are, according to Scripture, God's workmanship. We are designed unto good works. We are built to accomplish those works and built to be able to finish those works. Not called unto just doing good, but we're called to good works. Design, His workmanship, God's handiwork. Job understood this when he began to speak in his time. Go to me to Job, the 10th chapter and the 8th verse. And I want to show you something that Job understood about this that a lot of us don't. Not only did Job understand that we were put together by God and built by God, designed to do good works, but notice how he says this. Thine hands have done what? Have made me and fashioned me together round about, yet thou dost destroy me. In other words, you have put me together, have designed me for whatever purpose you have. I don't understand every purpose. I can't see every purpose. But you have shaped me. You have designed me. And when we look at that, can I tell you this morning, there are five ways in your life in which God has built you or shaped you or designed you. Number one, the first is that in your heart. There's some of you that just have hard hearts. There's some of you that are good-hearted. There are some of you that are more skeptical than others. There are some of you that are fearful more than others. There are some of you that trust more. And every one of us in this room come with our heart at a different place and a different level. And that's why we'll look at people sometimes and just say, man, I don't understand you. I don't see why you see it that way. I don't understand why you can have two people. I had two brothers and a sister, and none of us have the same exact heart. We're all different. Trent's a lot more easygoing. Trent's very laid back, very easygoing. Terrence is on the other extreme. He's very light, laid back. He's extremely motivated all the time. I don't know where I fit in all that. And Tabitha's got a heart of a mom. She wants to baby and take care of everybody. I don't have that at all. I don't feel that need at all. And so all of a sudden, all of us are in that room. And we all come at it from different hearts and different ways of seeing. And when we see something happen in life, some of us may see somebody murdered, and somebody may say in their heart, well, they deserved it. Somebody may say in their heart, boy, that's sad. Somebody may say in their heart, man, I sure feel for their family. And it's not that any of us are wrong. It's just that every one of us in our own heart see it a specific way. But can I tell you, God designed you that way? God designed you that way. The second part of you that's different is your abilities. Every one of you not only has a different heart, but we all have different talents and abilities, and we have different ways of doing things. Some of us can sing, and some of us can't sing a lick. It's Christmas time. We can prove it real quick. We get in the car, and man, it doesn't take very long, and all of a sudden, one of my kids, you tell so-and-so to hush, they can't sing. Boy, they just are going, whoo. And you hate to look at somebody and say, hush. But we all have different abilities. Some are comfortable in front of people. Some don't want to be in front of people. But every one of you in this room has been given by God abilities that differ from the other. The third thing is your personality. Your personality is different. Your demeanor. Just who you are. Some of us want to be in the party. Some of us don't want to go to the party. Some of us just want to sit at the party. Your personality is different. The fourth thing about you that's different is your experiences. We always use the phrase, don't judge somebody until you walked a mile in their shoes. And I'm very careful not to do that because I have no idea where you came from. I have no idea what you went through. I can't look at you and say you ought to see everything just the way I do because you don't have the same heart I have. You don't have the same abilities I have. You don't have the same this. But it doesn't make you weaker. It just makes you different. It doesn't make me stronger. It doesn't make me weaker. It just makes me different. There are things I'm going to look real good at, and there's things I'm not going to look good at all. There's situations you can put me in and I'll be very comfortable. There's situations you put me in and I'm not comfortable at all. My abilities, my experiences, my personality, my heart. And here's the thing that causes us the biggest problem. Ultimately, even when God picks us and picks us out, don't it stink that we all get different spiritual abilities? We'll see somebody praying for somebody and we'll say, man, I wish I could do that. I wish I could do that. And then somebody else will see having great compassion, God-given compassion, and they just sit there and can rub somebody's hand and sit there for hours and just console them and love them and take care of them. And you're thinking, man, that's awesome. See, I don't do good at nursing homes. I'm the wrong person. I clam up for a nursing home. I don't know if it was I got carried there so much when I was a kid. I don't know what it is. Maybe my experiences. Maybe whatever it is. I had, when I was 5, 6, 7, having to stand there with my mom and dad and this ladies and men that, you know, drool coming down their face and they want to hug you and grab you. And I don't know what it was, but whatever it was, when I finally didn't have to go, I didn't want to go. And my mom and dad loved it. We were raised in the same house, have the same upbringing in that way. Grew up, ate the same food, but yet my mom and dad, they'll come back from the Raleigh nursing home or the Morton nursing home and they'll say, oh, Tim, you should have been there. We got to sing it. And then people were just crying. And I'm thinking, okay. If you need any money or anything to help you in that ministry, you let me know. I'll write you a check. But don't act that way because if somebody was to tell you, look, I need you to go to the jail ministry, that may not be your most comfortable place. Maybe I need you to go to the hospital and visit someone in the hospital. They're terminally ill. Oh, Brother Lott, I just don't do good in hospitals. It's not that any of us are wrong or any of us are better. It's just that every one of us in this room are different in our own ways. And to capitalize upon those abilities is what we're called to do. To learn inside of ourselves how God designed us and made us, and to be comfortable in the fact that this is what I'm called to do. I don't have to do something else. I don't have to be able to do. Does that mean, Brother Lott, you won't go to a hospital? You won't go to a nursing home? You won't? No, no. I will go to any of those things. But I'm not going to look at you and say, that's just what I love to do. I love to do this. No, there's things that just don't come comfortably to me. It's the way God designed me and made me. My wife won't let me change the oil. It's not because I can't. It's because she's smart enough to realize I don't want you to have that experience, and I don't want you to deal with that, and I don't want my car to blow up. So I'm probably not going to get asked to be on the oil change ministry. Life is that way. It's not that I can't. It's not that I won't. It's just what God has designed me to do. And one of the first things in your life is you have got to, Job said, you've got to understand how God has shaped you and made you and designed you. He's made some of us in here to where we can accumulate wealth. Some of us in here can't keep $5 in our pocket. Some of us as wise won't give us $5 to keep in our pocket. Amen. But however you're built, it's by God. It's by God. And so that every one of us in this room can sit comfortably and realize that, you know, I don't have to look like, act like every other person in this room. It's not a cookie cutter thing. We don't all have to wear the same length clothes. We don't all have to put our hair the same way. We don't all have to. I'm not doing my hair like my son Nathan. I don't know where he got that from. The other side. I didn't say what side, a spiritual side, whatever. I didn't say that. I think they're not sure about you, Elise. When I said that, they think that might be your side. All right, let me hurry along. Go with me to 1 Peter, the 4th chapter and the 10th verse. I need to line this out before I show it to you in examples. 1 Peter 4 and 10. As every man hath received the what? The gift. Since I've received these gifts, this gift, who I am, the gift of who I am, the gift of the Spirit, which is diverse. I don't have time to go to Corinthians, but it's diverse to every other person. Since I have received this gift, my goal now is to become happy, right? To become wealthy, to get a better house, to get a better car. My goal then is to have more, to finally get a girlfriend, to finally get a wife, or to get a husband, or to get... I mean, that's my goal. Now that I've got the gift, now that I've got something, now I'm supposed to go and get something. Even so, minister the same to... See, if there wasn't anyone in here that loved nursing homes, then people in the nursing homes wouldn't get ministered to. But if you're going to be hard-headed and say, look, Pastor Lott does the nursing home, he does this and he does that, and he handles all that ministry part, then we're in trouble. Because there's some of us in here that are called to deal with certain issues and certain people. There are some of us in here that are able to do more in giving. Some of us are able to do more in service. Some of us don't have time to come and clean the church, but we can pay to make sure the lights stay on. Every one of us in here is different in our own way, in our own ability. We bring what we've been given by God, and we allow it to minister one to another, so that when we walk in the door, I may be able to shake hands and hug neck. Somebody else may be able to sing. Somebody else may be able to help you get from a car on a rainy day and get in here dry. Somebody else may be able to help tote your baby carriage in. But every one of us in this room is designed for service, is designed for ministry, is designed not to accumulate, but to learn to give. If we learn to serve and to give and to minister, then everything in our life changes. Notice, the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold what? Grace of God. It's all God's anyway. If I have an ability to sing, that's God's ability. If I have an ability to walk, that's God's ability. If I have the ability to run, that's God's ability. If I have the ability to talk or the heart to love or the kindness to be able to do different ministries and to go different places and do different things, that's God's ministry. It's not mine to covet. It's not mine to hog. It's not mine. It's mine to give back as God has given to me. And when we get that in our mind, then life becomes enjoyable. In fact, when you look in the Bible, the word service is the same word that's swapped all the time for ministry. When they say service, they mean ministry. In fact, I'll even put it to this degree. Every time they use the word servant in the Bible, it also can be translated in definition and as minister. So if I asked you, have we got any good servants in here? Yeah, I want to serve the Lord. Well, then do we have any good ministers in here? Well, I'm not a minister, Brother Lott. You're a minister. No, I'm a pastor. They don't call me Minister Lott. They call me Pastor Lott. That's what I am. Now, I'm not Reverend Lott. I'm Pastor Lott. That's what I do. But every one of us in here is a minister. In fact, one of the greatest days of my life is December when I get to do the Christmas banquet. That is the height of my year. Because most of the time I'm pastor. And I'm doing pastor stuff. But ever so often I get to just put on some blue jeans and I just get to do what I love to do. And that's just serve and minister. And that's what everyone's called to do. And to sit there and watch some, I guess that comes from my mom's side, just the fact of I love to watch people happy when they're full. Yeah, my mom was that way. If you go to her house, first thing she's going to say, let me go to the Sonic. Let me get you something to eat. Here, you mean cook something? I got some stuff. And I'm like, Mom, I'm not hungry. Well, I just bought some oranges and I got some bananas right here and there's some stuff in the fridge. You mean fix you a sandwich and everything? I'm like, I don't need anything, Mom. But I know my mom and her mindset is, if you're happy, you're full. And if you're full, you're happy. And so when I'm walking around the tables last night, just to see someone say, oh, I can't eat no more. I'm like, yeah. That's my mom in me. It's like, I did good. I'm miserable. Oh, I did a real good job there. Because I connect those two. I love cooking. I love giving that way. Every one of us in this room have been gifted by God to be ministers and servants. And being able to say within yourself, I've got to find a place in this church. I've got to find a place in the kingdom to serve. I've got to, because I'm not going to be no happier than my ability to serve. You can't be happy just continually coming and receiving, coming and receiving, coming and receiving. That's not the way we're built. We're built that our joy comes from our giving. And Jesus is trying to teach those guys, listen, if you can get this concept, guys, it'll work. Now, let me share this with you, and I want you to write this down if you've got a pen. This is very important. Because I have a lot of people that say, well, I serve, but I struggle. You know, I get tired of serving. I get tired. Let me explain this to you. How you're shaped, how you're designed by God, determines your ministry. You write that down. How you're designed by God or shaped by God determines your ministry. If you're a talker, you're probably going to be in a ministry that does some talking. If you don't like talking, you just like rocking babies, I got a pretty good idea you're going to be somewhere rocking babies. Whatever it is, that determines your ministry. But listen to me. But your attitude toward it. Your attitude when you walk in every day determines your maturity. That's why some churches this morning, they'll have people in every position we do. But you walk in, and they might shake your hand, and they may not shake your hand. They may just say, good to have you. Well, what's the difference? It's attitude. See, Jesus could have said, dadgummit, I got to wash y'all's feet. All right, God, I'm going to do it. I mean, you know what Peter stepped in today? I've been smelling their feet all day. God, but I'm a servant. I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do, God. And Jesus could have said, all right, put your big old feet over in here. Ugh, what have you been doing all day? Man, that's nasty. Now, he would have still been doing what? Washing their feet. But his level of maturity would be almost nothing. Because your level of maturity is based off the attitude by which you do it. I want you to see Jesus now. Jesus is fixing to die within 24 hours. Some of us, if we knew we was fixing to die within 24 hours, we'd be laid back. Y'all just don't know what it's like right now. I'd love to help y'all, but Lord, I'm just doing about all I can do right at the moment. I got such stress on me. I'm so worried. Don't act like we wouldn't. But here's a man knowing I'm fixing to die, but I love you. And I want to show you I love you. And there's only one correct way to show you I love you, and that's to serve you. Jesus put it to his disciples later when he would say, if you love me, you'll obey me. There's only one correct way to say, I love you. There's only one correct way. And we're a society that just tells people that all the time. Oh, I love you. I love you. And we're also a society where that word doesn't mean anything. Because we may love our car more than our girlfriend or our wife, and we may love our house, and we may love our dog, and we may love our shotgun, or we may love everything else, but we can love a lot of things. But what you really love will be what you serve. Put it to you this way. It's hunting season. I can't hunt. My license went out. My sportsman's license went out in November. That's $39 to renew that thing. Now, I like hunting. But I love my kids. And they have to have money. Caitlin had to have $3 for a Christmas party at her school the other day. And I had to go and steal two of them from Nathan and take another one from somebody. I don't know who it was. Somebody left it on the counter. It was their loss. Don't worry. Our family operates that way. You steal from me, I steal from you. It's a community pot. Whatever gets collected out of the jeans before it gets washed, that's who's ever washing the jeans. That's the way it works. That's just the community pot. Some of y'all live the way we live. It doesn't go back to the borrower. It goes right to whoever finders. So we live that way. And so in my mind, I'm like, man. But in my heart, it's like, I don't love it. But now if I loved it, I could really care less about anything else. I'd have went to Walmart and I'd have said, look, I got to have this because I may not do a lot of things, but I'm going hunting. There's nothing wrong with hunting. There's nothing wrong. But what I'm telling you is, just check your life and whatever it is you don't complain about giving to and doing and whatever it takes of your time and you don't get mad about it, then that's what you love. It's one of the best compliments I heard the other day. The best compliments I heard the other day was from Jennifer. And it was kind of a compliment and not kind of a compliment, but it was. I have to explain. She said, me and Jim went shopping the other night. And this was her words. He was such a trooper. And I know Jim. Jim shops like I shop. It's like, what do you need? Let's go get it. Let's go home. And she said he would go in the store, and then she said, I need to go one. Oh, we got to go one more place. He followed her along to the next place. Are we through yet? I still got one. And we have to go somewhere else. And what she was proud of and what intrigued her was the fact that he was willing without complaint. I didn't say grumbling. All of us being grumble. But without complaining, he just followed her, carrying a purse or carrying bags or whatever he needed to do while she shopped. Did he want to do that? No. But he loved her. And because he loved her, it was more valuable to him than anything else. It doesn't take very long before somebody knows whether you love them or don't love them or whether you care about them. You can say I love you all you want, but they'll know real quickly. It won't take very long. If you're washing the dishes and helping them and doing life and all this, they'll know you love them. You may not even have time to tell them you love them. Me and my wife right now, we're in a season of our life where it's three kids, a house, and everything else, and two dogs. And we're going through that season of life where it's just grab a hold of something and just see if you can get it done. You go iron, I'll be cooking breakfast. You just get them out the door by 7:30 so we're going not late for the eighth time. We're in that phase of life. Some of y'all have been through it. Praise God, y'all lived. Some of y'all hadn't got there yet. Praise God, you're going to get it. Everybody deserves a little of it. And so we're in that phase. We don't even a lot of times have time. She'll just say, I'm going to bed. And I'm sitting there with the other two boys. Okay, I'm too wired right now. I can't even go to bed. So we're boys are going to sit here. And that's our life. But now, in the times when I can't say it, when I get up at 6 in the morning and I start ironing clothes and I lay them out for the kids. Friday, she gave me the greatest compliment she could give me. She just wrote over, Fridays are her day and Mondays are my day. You know, Fridays are her day, she gets to sleep in. Mondays are my day. And I torture them on Mondays. I do. I'll sit there and I'll wake up, but I won't get up. And they'll be walking through there getting ready and I'll just pull their covers up to my nose. Y'all be quiet. Keep it down now. But on Friday, I'll try to close the door for her, make sure nobody bothers her no more than I have to, and I'll get the kids ready, and I'll get them off, and I'll take them on. And later that afternoon, she came to the church, and she came in, and she said, thank you for letting me sleep. Wasn't a big compliment. But it struck me. Because I don't have time all the time to go on romantic dinners, or but just know I love you. And Jesus, sitting there at that moment, says, guys, I can't tell it to you good enough. I can't say it in words, but I can show it to you. I can show it to you. And he pulls out a pan, and he walks, and he starts washing feet. He gets to Peter, and when he gets to Peter, this is what Peter says, you going to wash my feet? Yeah, I'm going to wash your feet. But Peter, later you'll understand this better. You don't understand it well now, but you're going to understand it better later. Peter says, I'll never let you wash my feet. Jesus looks at him and says, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you can't have none of me. To put it in this terms, you can't understand me, Peter. And you can't know what type of person I am if you aren't a serving person. If you don't understand serving and love serving and enjoy serving, you'll never understand me. Because I was born to serve and not be served. My whole life was built off serving, giving, loving, caring, forgiving, moving beyond, even when others wouldn't do it for me. Peter sticks his feet out like we would. Well, go ahead and wash my head and hands and everything then. And Jesus says, no. Feet's enough. It has nothing to do with washing everything, Peter. It has to do that if you have the ability to humble yourself and serve others, then it purifies the whole body. You don't have to try to purify it. Just by humbling yourself, it purifies the whole body. I gave somebody some advice once, a long time ago. And this was the advice I gave them. They'd come to me and they were dealing with an insurance company. And it was real haggling. If you ever deal with insurance companies and you've got a claim or something's gone wrong, man, them guys can push all the right buttons to make you mad because you're thinking, I'm giving money every month and here you are, I just need this and you won't help me. And it was heated. And they came to me and said, "Brother Lott, let me explain this situation." Of course, they went through all the details and all the reasons why they felt the way they felt, and they were right about all of them. And they said, "What do you think I need to do?" And I looked at them and I said, "You need to go get a $25 gift card. And you need to write a letter and say, I just want you to know that even though in this type of stuff we always have words and we always say things and sometimes attitudes get in the way, I just want you to know I love you and that we will always be friends." You thought I'd hit him with a hammer. Several months later, they come to me and they said, "I did it." They said, "You know, I feel good." It didn't matter what the other person thought. It doesn't matter if they received it or cared about it. It had nothing to do with it. It's the fact when I took the mindset that I'm going to serve, then I also get the joy. I also get happy. And it doesn't matter if you're in jail. It doesn't matter if you're in a hospital. It doesn't matter where you are. When you decide to serve, you will be the happiest person wherever you are. When you decide to not be the one that's waiting to get so that your life will be better, you'll find you're the happiest person in the room. Some of us in here today, we're going to have to make a decision this next year. We've done these last years and we keep trying to get and do, and we bought clothes and we've got closets full and we've got a car and we've got this, and none of us are any happier. And God says, this year, why don't you try it my way? This year, why don't you decide that I'm going to serve this year? I'm going to find a place to serve. I'm just going to humble myself and serve. Pastor Lott says it'll work. I'm going to see if it'll work. It'll work. I promise it'll work. I know, because I'm a depressant by nature. And people will say, "Well, you need medication or you need this." You know, no. I found the greatest drug in the world. It's called serving. When I start serving, I'm not depressed anymore. When I start serving, I don't think of me anymore. When I start serving, I don't worry about my future anymore. When I start serving, it all of a sudden my whole life changes for the good. Guys, if you're in this room today and you're listening to me, if you don't hear nothing else I say, you say, "I know Jesus." That's good. Next step is to be like Him. And if you're going to be like Him, you better know this about Him more than anything else. He was a servant. He was the best servant the world had ever seen. The Bible says about Him, He went about doing good. Even His enemies had to say, "He just does good." Let the people that don't even like you talk about the good that you do. And you will always be the happiest person in the room. Will you stand with me? Father,